Father, we come today. We're so grateful and thankful for the truth of your word. We thank you that this story that we have read this week and are going to look at today is still just has as much to teach us as when it first happened. And we thank you that the same Jesus is alive, the same one who called Lazarus forth and who said that the day is coming when all who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and will come forth. Lord, we thank you for this truth of your word. We pray now that you will teach us today and that we, all of us, will learn today and in the days ahead all the lessons that you would have us to learn from this wonderful story. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated, and if you're among those who, like to have the notes and have something to look at later, fill in the blanks, you can always go to sncccc.org and also find the sermon notes. Once in a while, you'll even find some extra stuff there. What a story, huh? Talked about how, there's certain things we might have liked to see. I think this is the one I would have liked to see more than the feeding of the 5,000 or any of the rest of it. John approaches it totally different. Matthew portrays him as the Messiah and as the king and the heir to the and kingdom is his word. And Mark portrays him as the servant. So there's not even a genealogy. And the key word is, and straightway or immediately, Jesus did this or did that. Luke portrays him as the perfect man. And the operational word in Luke is the Son of Man. But in John, it's believe and it's the Son of God, and it's these issues that stand forth. And he doesn't give us a chronological thing. In fact, I've just finished reading the first 17 chapters again. The miracles begin in chapter 2, with the first miracle being the converting of the water into wine. And then he has a few select encounters and stories of miracles. One of those is the healing of the man there by the pool. And, of course, the feeding of the 5,000 is one. And the blind man that he made mud and put it on his eyes and he came back seeing, and some of these. And then this is the final miracle in chapter 11, the crowning miracle, which is not recorded by the other three gospel writers. Arguably the greatest miracle that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, again by virtue of the fact that Lazarus had already been dead 4 whole days, and yet he is raised to life. He does not record another miracle after this. The book has 21 chapters. This is the final crowning miracle that is recorded. And John lets us know that it was this miracle, perhaps as much as anything else, that led the Jewish leadership to believe we have got to do something about this man. Because if we don't, the whole nation's going to go after him and we are going to be in real trouble. So here it is. And what a story. We could tell this many ways. I just want to share with you what God has been, that's all we can do on my heart as I read this story again. Do you ever read something and each time you go through, the Lord, different parts of it light up? Well, here we are, and may the Lord take it and use it wherever we may be. Number one, observation number one. Humanly speaking, Lazarus was as dead gets. It had been 4 full days, and bodies decomposed quickly. They did not have the embalming procedures that we have today. They did not have the nice funeral homes. They did not have the nice family visitations. The idea was the person dies, they decompose quickly, let's do this burial as quick as we can. And most burials were in caves, and then they would put a big stone over the entrance to keep wild animals and predators and things like that from getting in. Now, Lazarus takes sick while Jesus is some distance away. And the girls, Martha, Mary and Martha, we know this is a house where Jesus went. Jesus was close to them humanly, maybe closer than with most people. He had been entertained in their home multiple times. They were personal friends, not just followers. And they send him word, and they send it worded in a very special way. They say, "Master, the one that you love is sick." No arm twisted there. And yet the scripture says Jesus stayed where he was 2 additional days before he even made the first move to come back. But what I hear in those words, we see the humanity of these girls coming through. Number two, the sisters' humanity is very much in evidence as they seek to deal with the devastating and unexpected tragedy, and it should say, of their brother's untimely death. We're human. We love the Lord. We know the Lord, but we're human. And we do the same kind of stuff that the girls did. They sort of presumed on this relationship. The hidden message here is, Lord, we have a special circumstance here. This isn't just anybody that's sick. This is Lazarus. This is your friend. This is the one that loves you. This is the home where you have been our guest and we've prepared meals for you. This is not just somebody off of the street. So, Lord, you need to be here on the double. And sometimes we take those attitudes too. Lord, I've been faithful to you. Lord, I've served in the church. How come you're not answering my prayer? I don't imagine anybody's ever done that, right? It's presuming on the relationship. You might want to write this down. Presuming on your relationship with the Lord is not the same thing as having faith. And the Lord stays where he is 2 more days. And it's probably about a day's trip back. On the way back, Jesus says, "Yeah, our friend Lazarus is sleeping." They're all. Then if he's sleeping, he's doing fine. He says, "Well, what I mean is, he's dead. And I'm glad." Now, how can any of you can picture yourself saying that? "And I'm glad because now you're going to see God's power displayed in a way you would have never seen it displayed, and you're going to believe in a way that you would never have believed. I believe," it does not say so, "I believe that Jesus' first inclination would have been to be there on the double, and that maybe one of the hardest things he ever did was stay where he was those 2 days. He was a man of compassion, but what he did in obedience to the Father, and the Father said, stay 2 more days. Jesus never did anything by accident. He did only what his Father told him to do. So if he stayed 2 additional days, it was because the Father said, it's not time yet. I'll let you know when it's time to go. And when Jesus gets back there, and Martha and her sister and the friends and the neighbors and the Jews and everybody, they're there. And Martha, somebody says in her ear, "The master, he's approaching town." She gets up and goes. Mary stays. What are her first words? I read them at virtually every funeral service that I do. Her opening words to Jesus are, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." There it is again. Now we have the second guessing. When tragedy comes into our lives, a loved one dies, someone's sick unexpectedly, somebody's sick longer than we thought they were going to be sick, finances are in a mess and don't improve, Other things happen, and we begin to say after the fact, we're always second-guessing. After the fact, if this, if that, if the other, if I had just been there, if I had just made that one phone call, if I had just this, if I had just that, and we begin to do that, we are all that way. But in this case, she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. At best, she's saying, if circumstances had been a little different, my brother would still be here. And at worst, she's saying, it's your fault he died. Because you could have been here and you weren't. And things like that happen, and we begin to assign blame after the fact. I've seen it in families. I've seen families get mad at each other. You didn't do what you were supposed to do by mama, and that's why she passed away. If you'd have done what you were supposed to do, she wouldn't have passed away. That is not faith, folks. That is second guessing, and that is complaining. And it fixes nothing. Jesus says, your brother... She said, but I know even now God will give you whatever you ask. He says, your brother will rise again. Let's go to number three. When Jesus tells Martha that her brother will rise again, her mind immediately associates the resurrection with a future event instead of with Christ himself. So Christ says, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know there's going to be a resurrection. I know that. And we're that way a lot of times with our doctrine. Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but we can't apply it to today. We can't apply it right now because we don't have enough faith to apply it to the right here and the right now, and so we leave it in the theological realm. And so that's when Jesus says, I love these words, I am the resurrection and the life. Now let's read the rest of it. I'll go ahead and read that. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was coming to the world. She still did not get it. You say, how do you know she did not get it? Because a little bit later when they're in front of the tomb and he says, remove the stone, she says, but Lord, it's been 4 days and there's a bad odor. She did not get it. I believe you're the Messiah. Yeah. It went. Is that what happens when we read the Word of God? Does it just kind of. But we are so busy looking at the reality. We are so busy looking at the facts that we can't see the truth. And we can't hear the truth. And we can't receive the truth. And it isn't until the truth really gets through that God is able to do what he really wants to do. That's why I called today's message, Seeing God Work. And our subtitle could be, In the Really Hard Cases. When Jesus tells Martha that her brother will rise again, her mind immediately associates the resurrection with a future event instead of with Christ himself. Jesus points out to her that he himself is the resurrection. Now, this looked like a hopeless situation. Not only had Lazarus died, he had been dead 4 days. The little girl, Jairus' daughter, she had just died a few minutes earlier. Her body probably wasn't even cold all the way. And Jesus says, young lady, I say to you, arise, and she arose. They're on their way out of town with the widow's son at Nain, and Jesus touched the thing, and they stop, and he raises the young man and gives him back to his mother. That's one case. Here's a case where he's not only dead, he's buried, and he's been in there 4 days. So that's like there is no hope, there is no turning back. And in the natural, that's how it seems. But the thing is, see, All of that was true. But there's one thing that Martha... Oh, and by the way, when Mary comes out later and she doesn't know the conversation between Martha and Jesus because she's been back at the house, what are her first words? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But the thing that they're not factoring in, and you, if you want, you can write this down. When you're in that impossible situation, okay? That impossible situation, absolutely impossible. The thing, you can analyze it any way you want to. He's dead. He's been buried. There's a bad odor. He's in the tomb. There's a stone in front of the tomb. All of that is true. But the thing that is more powerful than all of that, and which Mary and Martha are not factoring in, the resurrection and the life is standing right there. We were talking about that in the Sunday school class. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And who is thou there? The God of the universe. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light. The God that brought it all into effect to begin with. And now, on the other side of the cross, the God who has sent his Son, who paid the sin penalty and everything, who took away all the barriers so we can have unbridled fellowship with him, and who said, lo, I am with you always, every day, even to the end of the world, he's there. But we get our, we look at the circumstance and we forget who that is that's standing with us. Number four, Lazarus was already buried and the entrance to the tomb was blocked by a large stone. So, again, the finality. It'd be like today we say, dead and buried. You've probably heard that before. Number five, when Jesus says to take away the stone, Martha reflectively, that means like a reflex, focuses on the reality of her brother's decomposed state and the undesirable related issues removing the stone might bring to light. She's not thinking about a resurrection. She's thinking about the bad odor that's going to hit the minute they take that stone away. Now, we never do that, right? We're in the middle of the situation, and we're looking at all, well, if I do this, you know, we don't do that. We do that. We are just like these two sisters. Number six. Jesus calls Martha to a response of faith, reminding her of his previous word to her. Now this, for many years, has been my favorite verse in this story. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Past tense. Did I not tell you? She knew. She had been told. She had his word. When we don't believe in these situations, it isn't because we don't have the word. We have the word. We've been raised in church, a lot of us. And if we haven't been raised in church, we've at least been pretty regular in church. We have Bibles. We've read our Bible. But when we're in the midst of a really difficult circumstance, we don't relate the truth of God to the circumstance, and we forget all the things the Lord has already told us and already taught us. He says, did I not tell you? Past tense. Or have I not told you, is one of the other translations. In other words, I already told you that if you believe, if you what? Believe, you will, what? See the glory of God. You're not going to see the glory of God unless you believe. You're not going to see the glory of God if you focus only on the circumstance and on the possible negative consequences of some action or whatever. If you don't believe, you're not going to see the glory of God, no matter who's standing next to you. And if this case, it's the Son of God that's standing there, the one who has the power to call him forth, and he's getting ready to demonstrate it. So Jesus calls Martha to a response of faith, reminding her of his previous word to her. Number 7. After prayer, Jesus raises Lazarus, and one of the greatest miracles of the New Testament takes place before the crowd's very eyes. They are still talking about it weeks later. When he is at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, there are people that day still bearing witness to that miracle. That was one of the things that led to them starting to praise and starting to lay the branches in the way and all the rest, as many of these things are recounted. Eyewitnesses that were there and saw it happen and saw what Jesus did. And this is my own comment at the end here. Once Lazarus was raised, it's doubtful Martha worried any further about the stone having been removed. And actually removing the stone was necessary. I preached on this years ago, a whole sermon. Some of you still remember it. You remove the stone, Jesus will raise Lazarus. It's not your job to raise Lazarus. It's his job, but it is your job to remove the stone. And a lot of us are unwilling to remove the stone for similar reasons to why Martha didn't want to remove it. I'm going to open a can of worms here. We say. Number 8. Once Lazarus was raised, it's doubtful Martha worried any further about the stone having been removed. Faith had triumphed. And so my Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I just hear those words of Jesus echoing in my ear. Have I not told you that if you, what? Believe. You will see the glory of God. That is what brings forth the miracle. And we can say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know exactly what you're going to do, and I don't know how you're going to do it. But I know you're faithful to your word. So, Lord, all the facts aside, help me at this moment to believe you. Help me at this moment to not be second-guessing everything, and if this or if that or if the other, this wouldn't have happened. Hey, it did happen, okay? And so we're there. What are we going to do now? And to exercise our faith in him. In the midst of whatever it is. Whatever it is, I don't know. But whatever it is, I exercise my faith in him. I don't know what he's going to do exactly. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. But I do know this. If I believe, if I trust, he is now free to work. And I and others will what? See the glory of God. Have you ever seen the glory of God? Every time you see the glory of God, it's because somebody believed. Not just that he's the Messiah, They believed for that day, that place, that time, that event, that circumstance. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today. Lord, we confess many times we've got your word. We've got a whole bag full of your word. And it's right there and we're holding that bag full of your word. And we're ignoring it all while we focus on all the particulars of our situation. Oh, Lord, we confess that many times we know your word and we still neglect it. Because when push comes to shove, we choose to ignore it, even though we know it, in favor of dwelling on today's tragedy or today's circumstance. Oh, Lord, help us day by day in both the good and the bad times, in both the good and the bad situations. Help us to exercise our faith in you. Oh, dear Lord. And that when you remind us, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God, that we would get back on track and that faith would be rekindled and that we could begin to have the reaction that you want us to have. You are the Lord. You are the King. You are the judge. You are the final say. You are the resurrection and the life. And we want to trust you fully in every single thing that comes our way. Oh, Father, thank you that you are that great. And thank you that you still hear the prayer of the righteous. Help us to keep believing, to keep hoping. And hoping in your word means expecting. Oh, Lord, as we continue to look to you. Work in our hearts today. Convict us of our unbelief and bring us to a place of faith. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.